In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Our Lady, Queen of all saints, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. So we're continuing with Volume 7, June 15th, 1906. And this is really just an astonishing time to be alive. We are in a war. This is one of the things that is so difficult for most of us to understand. This is basically the final battle that's taking place, and our God is trying to get us ready to fight. And it's a war of love, as Jesus tells Louisa. It's a war of love that our God is asking us to begin to enter into. And the weapons are the weapons of the church, most especially, you know, Holy Mass, the Blessed Sacrament, spending time with our Eucharistic Lord, the Holy Rosary, the sacraments and sacramentals. This is something that is really, really necessary today. And it is to begin to live this abundant life. So we begin with Volume 7, June 15th, 1906. Jesus says, "My daughter, it can be said that the whole of the divine life receives life from love." Okay, so this battle that we're in, this final battle that we're in, which affects the whole world, everyone is going to enter into this battle sooner or later. It's nothing to be afraid of. You know, a lot of people have been trained to be fearful. They have been programmed to be afraid. As Catholics, there's nothing to be afraid of. Our life is to be one with Jesus. And Jesus says to Louisa that he's forming this divine will army. We are the ones that Jesus has predestined to be alive at this time, to go through what we have to go through for the new heavens and the new earth, for the new Jerusalem, for the kingdom of God to be established on earth as it is in heaven. So Jesus tells Louisa right from the very beginning today that this whole thing that we're going through, this divine life that we're going to receive, comes from the love of God. And the evil one, basically seducing Eve, having the fall of Adam occur, the original sin, you know, and for 4,000 years, he ruled as king, the evil one ruled as king of the earth, because that was Adam's job, and he took basically that position away from Adam and claimed it for himself. And then Jesus comes, the Messiah comes, and he, with his mother, bring us back to that universal life that Adam lost, this Catholic life. And now 2,000 years later, Jesus tells Louisa, now is the time that I'm going to restore humanity to where it was before the fall. So we're going to go through something that no human has gone through before, that return when Jesus died on the cross, when he shed every drop of his blood with his mother on Calvary, we were redeemed. And Jesus says, I want you to live the resurrected life now. I want you to live this resurrected life before you die physically. And that's where the saints were driven to seek God, and many religious communities began. People began to learn or desire how to love God through these great religious individuals, these great saints. And now, after 2,000 years, finally, Jesus says, "We have Louisa, this new beginning for all of humanity, Louisa Picaretta." So he tells us right from the beginning, this divine life that we're going to enter into, this fullness of life, this return back to the womb of the Father, this full circle back to God, is because of love. Love, Jesus says, makes this divine life generate. Love makes this divine life produce. Love makes this divine life create. Love makes this divine life persevere. And it gives continuous life to all of its operations. So what Jesus is saying is, hang on to your hat. This is going to be wonderful, a wonderful entrance, re-entrance into the life, the love, the light of God. It's continuous life of God that he wants to breathe in us again, that fullness that Adam had, that fullness that Jesus, the new Adam, and Mary, the new Eve, possessed. This fullness that they breathed into Louisa as the newborn is now ours if we wish. And that means, okay, we have to, like Louisa, focus on this gift. What does that mean? This isn't anything that the saints experienced. The saints had to pray, had to fast, had to mortify themselves to prepare themselves for this spiritual life of denying themselves the things of the world. As Jesus says, if you don't love your father and your mother, if you don't love your wife or your children, you're not worthy of me. And it doesn't mean that we don't love them. We hate them, as that word says, but it's going to look as if you don't care about them. Right now, a lot of people try to please their family so that they will stay together. And I've seen it over and over and over again where the one who brings the family together and keeps the family together has that power, if you say. When that person dies, the family falls apart. I've seen it over and over and over again where the families aren't together anymore. It's all been broken up because of this battle that we're in. People don't want to follow God. People want to follow the earth, follow the world, the flesh, and the devil. And so Jesus is saying this love of God gives this continuous life, this continuous light to all its operations. So he says, so if it did not have love, it would not operate this divine life, nor would it have any life at all within it. We've seen, you know, again, like families, close families, you know, and then when the patron or the matron of that family dies, everything falls apart. They were keeping everyone together. And even in the church, how many people, let's see, you know, went to daily mass? The churches were, you know, at one point, daily mass was part of the life of many people. And now when you go to a number of churches, if there is a daily mass, it's not very full. It's people have let go of that because of the enticements, if you want to say, of the world, the flesh, and the devil. We should be attracted to the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And so what we see is this divine life that God wants his children to live is not operating in many, many situations. And even the idea of faithfulness to what God has asked of humanity is disappearing. We don't have to do this. We can do what we want. And this is this is going back to the original sin. It's the seduction of humanity away from the love of God. So he says, Jesus, now creatures are nothing but sparks that come out of a great fire of love. So here, this spark of light that happens at conception for every person, this light, this spark of light at that moment of conception, Jesus wants us to participate in this consuming fire of God's love. And so what he's given to the church is the Sacred Heart of Jesus, the Immaculate Heart of Mary, the new Adam and the new Eve. And he's asking us to enter into this fire, enter into this consuming love, because that's what's coming to the earth. This consuming love of God, this fire that we all have to go through, is symbolized by the Sacred Heart of Jesus, the Immaculate Heart of Mary. This flame of love that is beginning to be seen worldwide, this great gift of the divine will is something that is necessary for us to participate in. So Jesus says, creatures are nothing but a spark, the spark of light, of the great fire, this consuming love of God, and their life receives life and an attitude to operate from this spark of life that God begins this conception of humanity in each and every soul. This soul that's being breathed into this human is what we're seeing, what we're experiencing. And Jesus is saying to us today, if we really are attentive, we are in a war, and it's a fight to the death. It's the final battle. And no one would thought that this battle that we're in would take so many people out so quickly. And it was all voluntarily that we volunteered to be taken out. Our God is asking us to enter into his life, his light, his love. And this battle that we're in, again, it seems like we're going to lose at points, but God is going to win. And he needs us to fight the way Jesus fought, to fight the way Mary fought. And that's with this divine love, this divine light, this divine life of God, this great gift of the divine will. So he's filling us to overflowing so that we can understand that we're here not for the things of the earth or the flesh or the devil, but we're here on earth to embrace the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And again, for a lot of people, that's so foreign, it's so strange, that people are going to go, I don't want that. I want the things of the earth. I want the things of the flesh. I want the things of the devil. And God says, then I have to give that to you. And God has to give everybody what they want. So this freedom that we see in our families, with our friends, our neighbors, our coworkers, our parishioners, this freedom to choose to be separated from God is what God, I have to see what you want, God says to Louisa. And then when Louisa says, I want what you want, he says, okay, get out of my way and let me do this. I will do this. So this fight, this battle that we're in, God is going to win. The angels are on his side. The power of heaven is on God's side. There's no way God is going to lose. And he's asking us, are you willing to be with the winning side, or do you want destruction? Do you want annihilation? And most people unconsciously say, I don't want what God wants, because that's what we've been programmed to do. Television programs, movies, music, books, literature, magazines, internet, everything that is around us tells us to go away from God. Don't have anything to do with God. And that's the saddest thing. God has to give us what we want. That's the most frightening thing, to want what we want and not what God wants. So Jesus is telling Louisa, this divine life, these sparks that God breathes into us at our conception, if you want to say our soul, come out of this consuming fire of God's love, and their life receives divine life, divine attitude, to operate from this initial spark that's in each and every one of us, this to enter into this consuming fire, to participate in God. St. John of the Cross says that, you know, we have to become that burning log in the fire, to the point of nothing is left of the log but just the fire, the consuming fire. And if you've ever seen logs burning, They're just glowing embers. It's the wood is dissolving, is disappearing. Why? To enter into that fire. And this is what God, he wants us. He says to Louisa, I want you to dive into the infinite ocean of love and participate in God. I want you to drown in this ocean of love. I never want you to leave. God knows how beautiful he is, how powerful, how loving he is. And he wants us to participate in that. So this spark that he breathed into us at the moment of our conception, he says, the human life also receives life from love. However, not everyone uses this love and to operate what is beautiful, what is good, the all of God. But they transform the spark in some into love of self, some into love of creatures, some into love of riches, and some even the love of beasts, to the highest sorrow of their creator, who, having unleashed these sparks, these souls from this great fire of his divine love, yearns to receive them all back into God himself once again. God wants us to return. And this is why he died on the cross. He redeemed us so that we could return back to him. So what he's done at this point of humanity is now given back to this newborn, Louisa, this divine life that Adam lost, this image and likeness of God. So through holy baptism, we are in God's image. And now the likeness comes to us as this word of God, Jesus Christ, and his mother speak to Louisa, this Catholic life, this universal life. And Louisa left everything, basically, abandoned everything to focus on this truth, this life, this light, this love of God found in the Book of Heaven. That what she wrote down, what we read, is transforming us, transmuting us, Jesus says. So Jesus shows us that these sparks from the great fire God yearns to receive everyone back into himself once again, to return to the womb of the Father, expanded like as many images of his divine life. See, that's why he says to Louisa, what I'm going to do, I'm going to make my children my divine masterpiece for God. Each and every one of us will be a unique divine masterpiece that no one can compare to. This uniqueness that God has given us is so essential to God. He loves us. He loves us so much that we have different fingerprints, different irises. Nobody's a clone of someone else. Nobody's a copy of, you know, there might be similarities, but everybody is unique. God loves this uniqueness. He needs us to return to him so that the kingdom, as Jesus says, is within you, can be established in us on earth as it is in heaven completely. So he's given humanity this new and divine way of holiness. He's given humanity this new and divine way of living what we find in the Book of Heaven, because everything's going to change. Everything's going to change. Nothing can remain the same anymore. When Jesus gave Louisa the Book of Heaven, and now he's given it to us to read, to study, to put it into practice as much as we want or as little as we want, nothing can remain the same. Everything has to change. Everything. And we're going to see that. We're going to witness that change. It's nothing's normal. Whatever normal was, nothing is the same anymore. The kingdom is coming. And, you know, if I had a friend of mine, and, you know, it's even scriptural that he had this, you know, he got some money. And the first thing he did was he tore down his house and built a new one. And even where his house was, because I'm saying, well, he put it in a different spot. He moved it in the middle of, if you want to say, this garden that God gave him. And he built it. And what he did was really astonishing. And if you ever have to build a house, this is a great idea. Put a 9-foot ceiling in, not an 8-foot ceiling. The house, you know, I'm come to where I live now, and I look at the house, and it's like you got to duck. I'm not 8 foot, but I'm still ducking when I go into the house. But when I go to his house, you could feel the difference. Just visually, you want to sit up straighter because it's not crushing you down. he designed his house in such a way that the wind, the air would blow through his house. It was like, so could he opens up the windows, opens up the curtains, and he blew through. He put in, he says, I want the South to look really beautiful, you know? So he put in, you know, sliding glass doors, but they were 8 foot tall, not 6 foot. And they were 16 feet wide, not, you know, 6 foot. It was just, you walk in and you just, wow, this is what God is doing. God is getting rid of all that we've been used to. He is building the kingdom of God on earth as it is in heaven. He's the one that's doing this. And he's asking us, are you ready for what I'm going to do? And if we say yes, he goes, okay, here's the book of heaven. I'll show you how and why this is going to happen. When we read the book of heaven, we can face anything. When we really study the book of heaven, we're not afraid anymore. When we study the book of heaven, we trust in God more. We hope in God more. We have confidence in God more because he says, hey, this is the final thing I'm going to do. And you're going to participate in this if you wish, if you want. He's never forceful. He's always offering us this new and divine way of holiness, as Pope St. John Paul II says is coming. So again, so Jesus says, I want humanity to come back to myself. He's Jesus, return to the womb of the Father, so that I, God, can make many images of his divine life. These are the divine masterpieces that he's going to make of each and every one of us if we wish. But then he says this is his sadness, but there are very few who correspond to the imitation of their creator. I mean, have you read The Imitation of Christ? I mean, that's a great book. We read that, you know, when we were teenagers in the seminary. The Imitation of Christ. What does it mean to become a divine copy of God? What does it mean to imitate Jesus? What does it mean? And, you know, that's like a basis. Everything in the church, everything that we've gone through, God builds on to bring us to this point of living in the divine will, to really begin to live the true life of Jesus, the true life of Mary. So in volume 7, July 3rd, 1906, Jesus says to Louisa, my beloved. He says that to us as well. We are God's beloved. And this is why we wear the wedding ring. God has proposed to us. And we have to begin to understand heaven is the wedding feast. What heaven is to have that perennial communion with God, where we will walk and talk with God in the cool of the evening for all eternity. We will fall more and more in love with God for all eternity. So he says to Louisa, my beloved, and he says that to us as well, who are reading. The soul who lives in my divine will rests. This is the seventh day. It's not by chance that John Paul II said, get ready for the third millennium. Get ready for it's really the 7,000th year, 4,000 years to Jesus. 2,000 years later, we're done. We've entered the third millennium, which is the 7,000th year. A day will be like 1,000 years. 1,000 years will be like a day. We've entered into this rest. When you read Genesis, the evening of the first day, the morning of the second day, the evening of the second day, the morning of the third day, there's no morning or evening of the seventh day. Why? Because it's now. He says, the soul who lives in my divine will rests. We enter into the seventh millennium because, he says, the divine will does everything for the soul. That's why he says to Louisa, get out of my way. And Louisa is going, well, I want to do this and I want to do that. And see, that's the saints. That's what we've been programmed to do. The saints built hospitals, built convents, built, you know, orphanages, built rectories, built, churches. For the glory of God. And Jesus says, now it's my turn. I'm building the new Jerusalem. It's coming for you. There is a room for you. I am going to go away to prepare a place for you. And then I'm going to come back, Jesus says. Why did John Paul II go all around the world? He knew what Jesus said to St. Faustina. The final devotion that I give to my church before I return is divine mercy. That's the final devotion. Why? Because there's no more devotion after this. It's not going to be a devout life. It's more than that. We're going to live one with God. We're going to be fused with God. We're going to walk and talk with God. We're going to have a perennial communion that will never end. He says very clearly, the soul who lives in my divine will enters this seventh day. We begin to rest with God because the divine will does everything for the soul. And while it operates for the soul, I, God, Jesus says, find the most beautiful rest in the soul. It's not wandering anymore. It's back, as Jesus says to Louisa, in the arms of God. If you haven't read Resting in the Arms of Jesus, you know, find it on the internet. It's in the Book of Heaven. It's in LouisaPicaretta.me. Read it. Our job is to rest with God. How can you rest with God? By entering and living in his divine will. He teaches Louisa this. He wants to teach us this as well. If you're worried, if you're fearful, if you're anxious, if you're complaining, if you're negative, if you're still stuck in the human, it's because you haven't begun to rest in God. Rest in the arms of Jesus. That's what he tells Louisa. We have to learn how to do this. Again, we've been programmed all our life, ABC program, NBC program, CBS program. We've been programmed all our life to follow the things of the world, the flesh and the devil. And Jesus is saying, I want to teach you how to live in the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, one with the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. He says, this is my beloved, one with God. I want each person to have this most beautiful rest in God and God in them. There's nothing to be afraid of. If you're afraid, it's because you're not with Jesus. Spend time with our Eucharistic Lord. Like my friend who built that house, he would always say to God, I'm not leaving the chapel until you answer my prayer. He said he'd spend hours in the chapel and he'd be reading sacred scripture. He'd be, focusing on the lives of the saints. And he would always leave with knowing that God was answering his prayer. He was resting in God. God wants more than just that, the saintly way, a good way, a holy way. He wants us to live the life that Jesus had, that Mary had, the new Adam and the new Eve, which they breathed into Louisa, entering into the divine will. So he says, so the will of God is rest for the soul. The will of God is the seventh day. And he's offering this to us because we're entering into this new and abundant life. The rest for God in the soul. The will of God is God is rest for the soul and rest for God in the soul. And then Jesus says, while resting in my divine will, the soul remains attached to my mouth and suckles divine life into herself, making of it her continuous food. This is how Louise is using what Jesus is teaching her, human language, to understand a divine reality. He says very, very clearly, resting in God, the soul always is attached to my mouth. I mean, think of the mother bird feeding the baby chicks, suckling divine life into herself. This is what God is asking, making of the divine will the soul's continuous food. What is this gift of the divine will that God has given to us? It's the ultimate. When you really look, see, for even like for Christmas, one of the things that to in your Christmas cards, find what Louisa says about Christmas, what she wants to give to the souls. My desire for you for this Christmas is that you enter and live in the divine will. It's the greatest gift of gifts. It's everything that God is asking of us. Are you willing to always be attached to the mouth of Jesus so that he feeds you with divine life, making the divine life, the divine will, your continuous food? Are you willing to surrender to God so that God can feed you continuously? That's the thing that's so astonishing. God is asking each and every one of us, are you willing to let me feed you? And when we go, yes, we receive the bread of life at Holy Communion, but that communion is only for 15 minutes until the host dissolves. And then the real presence of Jesus, this in a mystical way, is gone. Jesus is saying, I want you to receive a perennial communion where you're never separated from me. So this is what he says. The soul remains always attached to being fed by God, by living in the divine will. The saints didn't have this. The saints were doing the will of God, not living in the divine will. The true life of Jesus, the true life of Mary, they had a virtue or two of Jesus, a virtue or two of Mary. And so what God is asking of us is, are you willing to enter into this new and divine way of holiness? This is a great time to be alive. I mean, when you really think about it, Jesus says, January 3rd, 1907, if one fears nothing, it is a sign that she relies completely on God. If you are afraid of nothing, okay, we are called by God to live at this time, to be part of his army that's going to conquer the world. And it's conquering the world by love, not with blood. If one fears nothing, this is a true sign that the soul relies on God. Do we rely on God? What are we afraid of? What are we afraid of? I know some people that are afraid of bats. What are we afraid of? You know, it's Jesus is wanting us to so trust in him, to so believe in him, that there's no more fear in our life. A lot of people that are traumatized early in life have this tendency of that trauma of being afraid. Okay. Jesus says, I want to heal you of that. I want to heal you of this fear so that you can be confident in me. You can trust in me completely that you're not afraid anymore. As a matter of fact, the things that you were afraid of, you just laugh at now. It's like, no, God is with me. God is with us. Because by relying on God, her miseries and her weaknesses are dissolved in God. See that we become that drop of water into that chalice filled with wine. That drop of nothing fuses and diffuses, and that drop of water becomes wine. By relying on God, her miseries and her weaknesses are dissolved in God. And then the soul feels invested by the divine being, by God himself. See, this is, the Lord is saying to us very, very clearly, I need you to cooperate with me, God says, basically. I need you to cooperate with me so that I can bring about a new beginning for each and every soul. I can bring about a new beginning, which will bring about this new and divine way of holiness. He needs us to no longer be timid and afraid, to be nervous, to be, he wants us to be so calm by resting in him, so calm to be one with him that nothing makes us afraid. We could face our fears with confidence in God, trust in God. Why? Jesus says, by relying on God, your miseries, your weaknesses are dissolved, are gone in God. And then the soul feels invested by God, this great and powerful divine being. And it is no longer she who operates, but God within her. Jesus, I trust in you. Jesus says that to Louisa. He says, Louisa, you do what I want and I'll do what you want. A lot of people are terrified of their families. They're so afraid. They're so far from God. They're so far from the church. You know, I'm worried. No, Jesus, you're in charge. I trust you so much. I place them in your hands and I have confidence that you're going to take care of the situation. Whether I see it or not, I know you are the Lord. You are my Messiah. You're my Savior. You're my King. You're everything. I trust in you. I believe in you. I have confidence in you. No more worry. When I begin to worry, I'm feeding the demon of worry and keeping him alive in me. I don't want that anymore. I want to banish that. I want to starve that worry out of me by not worrying anymore. I'm not going to feed it anymore, any more worry. I've got confidence in you. I've got trust in you. I've got hope in you. You're my Lord, my Savior, my Master, my King. And you're going, you said, ask, believe that you'll receive it, and it is yours. I trust that. I believe that. The soul feels invested by the divine being, and it's no longer the soul who is operating, but God within her, that is. I trust in you. You're my God. You're my Savior. If you are God, what have I got to worry about? You are God. I trust you. So what can the soul fear? Nothing. What can the soul, he's working on us to divinely heal us. He needs us to so surrender to him that we're a completely different person than what we used to be. He is healing us. He's restoring us. He's bringing us back to being truly human like Jesus and Mary, the new Adam and the new Eve. There's no fear in us. Jesus went to embrace the cross. When you watch Mel Gibson's movie, Jesus runs to the cross to embrace it, and he kisses the cross. That's right from Louisa. Therefore, true trust reproduces divine life in the soul. Those are Jesus's words. Do you trust me? Then I will produce divine life within you. My life, the true Adam, the new Adam, the new Eve. Therefore, true trust reproduces divine life. We're returning back to the Father, to the womb of the Father, to live the life that Adam lost. What was the DNA of Adam? Image and likeness of God. What is our DNA because of the fallen nature, even though we've been redeemed? Is to get old, gray-haired, wrinkled, and become food for worms. That's all going to change on earth as it is in heaven. It's all going to change. Like when I tell you what's coming, this restoration that's coming, it's heaven, heaven on earth. Wait till you see what God's got planned. This, and he shows us what this is when we read the book of heaven. So January, volume 7, January 20th, 1907. Until the grain of wheat is buried in the earth and dies completely, it cannot rise again to new life. So do you see what Jesus is showing us? The human misery has to go. No more worry. See, we have to die to know we have no more worry, no more fear, no more anxiety, no more complaints, no more negativity, no more doubts. We trust in Jesus. We are confident in Jesus. This misery of the human being afraid has to die completely, or it cannot rise again to new and abundant life. It can't. Jesus wants us to so trust in him that there's no fear. Even if you're in front of a firing squad, there's no fear. Jesus, I trust in you. This life, as you said, is here, it's fleeting. As Our Lady of Revelation said to Bruno, my children belong in eternity. My children belong in front of the, participating in the beatific vision, where the children of Lucifer will always be trapped in time and space. That's where we are now, trapped in time and space. This is coming to an end. The kingdom is coming. New and divine life is coming. And multiplying itself gives life to other grains. And so Jesus says, in the same way, until the soul is buried in my divine will to the point of dying completely to worry, fear, anxiety, complaints, negativity, and sin, dissolving all of her human will within my divine will, the soul cannot rise again. That's why he says, I rose from the dead so my children can rise from the dead now. No more misery. Be filled with that confidence, that trust, that love of God. Christmas, kiss the baby Jesus. Kneel and adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him. Spend time in front of the sacrament. Die to the world. Buried in the divine will. The point of dying completely by dissolving all of her human will within God's holy divine will. So we use our free will to say, I no longer want to live in my human will. What's the human will? Blessed be Father, for I have sinned. This is what I thought. This is what I said. This is what I did. This is what I failed to do. I don't want to live like this. I make a firm purpose of amendment to avoid the near occasions of sin. Let go of the things of this world and begin to embrace the things of heaven. That's what Jesus teaches Louisa. Dissolve all of your human will within my holy divine will. Jesus says, if you cannot rise again, if you don't do this, you want divine life, you have to rise through all the rising of all the virtues of Jesus, which contains true sanctity. We have to begin to live in this holy humanity of Jesus. We have to begin to live this holy humanity of Mary, the mother of God, Theotokos. This life, this true sanctity isn't a virtue or two of Jesus and Mary, which the saints have gotten. The saints died to all that is human by prayer, fasting, penance, conversion, mortifying themselves. Jesus says, I want more than that. I don't want you to be worried about anything. I will take care of it. We're in a battle, and the battle is to die to our ego and our will so that we can live in God's holy divine will, rise again to new divine life, rising to all the virtues of Christ, of Jesus and Mary, which contain true sanctity, the new Adam and the new Eve that they breathed into Louisa. May the blood that flowed upon the wood of this cross free us from our human will, that we live in God's holy divine will always. We ask this in Jesus' name, under the mantle of Mary, through the intercession of Louisa. And we pray that this prayer becomes God's command, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. God bless you.